The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
Kerr's Hire, Cat Attack Podcast. Great to have Kerr's Hire involved in the Cat Attack Podcast as the Cats steam towards another finals appearance. Kingy, one of the wins of the season Saturday.
I'm concerned.
Why?
I'm worried that it might come back and bite him on the bum this week.
Against the Saints?
Yeah.
Every Cat fan is a little bit tentative about this weekend because the Saints traditionally play pretty well against the Cats, and Geelong sometimes aren't at their best at Marvel. So it's a bit of a...
It's a tripwire.
It is, Kingy. It's a real tripwire. Yeah. It's an extraordinary set of circumstances. Let's hope let's put it this way. If they play well, they'll win.
I don't care what they win by. They can win by a point.
Well, I don't think Cat fans are going to win by a point because there'd be some heart palpitations.
But that's okay. But that's 4 points.
Yeah, this is a crucial game.
They're going to beat the Eagles in the last round.
There's a very good chance they could finish second if they can win on Saturday night.
Correct.
So they know the stakes. So that's probably maybe what will help them is that the stakes are so high. Traditionally, you can sometimes have a little stumble later in the season when, you know, maybe there's not as much on the line. You're a little bit further removed from finals. You don't know exactly what the scenarios are. You don't bring your best and you get beaten by a side that is at the lower end of the table. But the Cats know what's at stake. I think even Patrick Dangerfield referenced it in the on-ground interview after the game about this week already. So
they know.
Yeah, it's a massive game. So that might hold them in good stead is that there is the picture there of what they need to do. The Saints are a bit dangerous. They've got players out there, the Saints as well. I know we talk about having a few out, but they won't have Max King, obviously. No Seb Ross, no Liam Henry. They'll have no Brad Crouch. And there's one other there, I reckon, Kingy, who is a senior player who won't be playing on Saturday night. So they've got a few issues there, particularly with Crouch and Ross out of the midfield. Yeah. It's perhaps not as strong as it could be.
Phillip, who's not playing. Potentially not playing.
Well, Henry's a big one out for them.
Windhager's a good player too.
Yeah, sorry, that's the other one, Windhager. Yeah, he's in their best 18 as well. So they've got, six players probably considering their best 22 out. But, you know, that means nothing sometimes in footy. Other players that come up and surprise you and with no expectation. So key for the Cats will be to put them to bed. I don't think you can do that.
Just be on early.
Yeah, let's not be 4 goals behind and have to chase our tail.
Yep.
Let's try and get on top, you know, quieten the crowd to a degree, even though there's probably not likely to be a huge crowd, and sort of just grind them into the dirt. But, I mean, if they play what they did last week, that last quarter last week was really good for the Cats. I was sort of waiting in that game. When they jumped the Dockers, Dockers came back into the game. Dockers probably on reflection, dominated is probably not the right word, but had the better of the second and third quarters. Geelong were able to hold up, which is what good sides do. And then in the end, they were able to play their best footy when it counted most.
The Cats never let it get beyond a goal, the margin. I reckon if the Dockers had of got it out beyond a goal in a low-scoring game, the Cats just might have got deflated and gone, Jim, we've done all this hard work and now we're, you know, 8, 9, 10 points down. But I don't think the biggest margin, I think, was 2 points.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. And that was credit to them. There was obviously help by some dysfunction. Freo's connection between their midfield and their forward line was non-existent, really. And Jack Henry did a good job on Amos. No Tracy. And at the other end, Kingy, we've spoken about it with the Cats. In terms of when you have a player out, other players then have to step up a rung and it doesn't always suit them. That happened with the Dockers. I mean, Pierce is probably in the best three fullbacks in the comp.
Yep.
Suddenly, Cox is expected to play slightly differently. You know, they've got Walker expected to play slightly differently. Luke Ryan, although he played well, is expected to play a slightly different role. Just throws him out of kilter, and Geelong were able to take advantage of that. And credit to them. They toughed it out. They showed some mental resilience on the road against in a massive crowd. There was 50-plus thousand at that game. Yep. And I was just trying to think in terms of ranking the wins in the season, which is ranking stuff has never been something that I like doing. But that was one of the better wins, just trying to get up some of the other good wins of the year.
Brisbane in Brisbane was a good win.
Yeah, Brisbane were going shies and ours at that point. But, yeah, that was a good win.
I think the Collingwood win was a good performance.
Recently.
Yeah, the one. That's 5 weeks ago now.
It was okay. Collingwood had half the team out and had no forward line.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was
the Bombers' performance after half time.
Yeah, that was when the things could have gone a bit shaky in that game because they did look a bit vulnerable with Peter Wright, and then actually able to overcome Essendon, you know, quite comfortably in the end. But certainly Saturday was up there in the on the podium in terms of wins of the season in ranking style.
The unbelievable thing is, Benny, like since 2004, this is going to be their 18th finals appearance.
Yeah, it's a pretty good effort.
21 seasons to play finals 18 times.
Yeah, what odds do you reckon you would have got on that if you rang your local bookie?
Well, at the end of 2003, the way Geelong were going, you could have written your own ticket.
Mm.
And then played a prelim in 04, semi in 05. Obviously, 06 was a pretty ordinary year and there was mitigating factors. But from 7 onwards, but 18 of 21 finals appearances in an 18-team competition that is heavily handicapped, he's unbelievable. And potentially going to play at least two finals. Well, you would think, barring absolute calamity, they're gonna have two cracks at playing in the prelim.
Yeah, I was just looking through, King. I mean, hindsight, the Hawthorn win was a good one.
On Easter Monday, or the one here?
No, the one at home.
Yep.
I know it was at home, and they were coming off a trip to the West, but that was a good
win. To have beaten Hawthorn twice, actually. Hawthorn have only... I know they've lost 9 games, but 2 of those have been to the Cats and by margins as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great, and it was good to see Sean Manor play well. He's really offering something slightly different to what the other mid-sized forwards are. Ollie Henry, do you think he plays this week?
He looks sore. He's not fit. No.
No, he looked at one point.
They talked about Rowan. Rowan was just held back. There was nothing sinister about it. They were just
so he could replace Henry in that last quarter. Henry, I'm not sure if it was a back or a hamstring. He grabbed both at various times. He was ginger on his back, and then he was grabbing his hamstring.
The back-related hamstring or hamstring-related back.
Yeah, the old awareness. He had some awareness, which is always a love to have awareness, Kingy.
What do you think of Shannon Neal's performance?
Well, he kicked 2 goals. He competed when he needed to. Did he star? No. Did he do a few things that got you sort of slightly, did get your arousal levels?
Yes.
Slightly up?
Yes.
Not sort of... You know, not to the point when you're sort of like exploding off your sofa down into the sort of into the mounting yard.
Yeah.
But it was there. There was enough there to sort of have a little twinge, wasn't there? Did you get a twinge?
I just enjoy watching him the way he takes the
floor. I love watching him. He's 203. He's athletic as hell. He flies at the ball. He just needs to play. We keep saying it. He's just got to – you're going to have to put up with some – average games and quiet games and all those sorts of things, but you got to get him to the point where he's at 60, 70 games. And that, unfortunately, is still 3 years away.
Yep. You'll lose Tanner Bruin.
Who do you think? Yeah, he's having absolutely zero luck, isn't he? Mm. Like zero luck in terms of just being on the park and continuity in his footy. You know, we thought second half against the Crows, you know, we thought, well, hang on, here we go. Because he'd played 6 pretty average quarters and... Now he's out again. It's disappointing. He's a key player for the Cats going forward, and yeah, they'll miss him this week.
Yeah. What do you think of Stanley's performance?
Well, I
actually thought it was pretty good in the last quarter.
Yeah, last quarter was good. Last quarter.
He jumped. He was out jumping Jackson.
He was. Yeah. He was solid. He was solid. I was thinking about it, Kingy, because I've seen a lot of stuff on the Triple X there. And about Stanley, you know, complimenting him how good he was. And I thought, I didn't really notice him. I didn't notice him being bad, but I didn't notice him being
his
good.
His last quarter was
good. And then I actually watched the last quarter again during the week. And, he was solid. He was okay. He didn't star. Is he staying in the team playing like that? Yes.
Yep.
Can he repeat that? Who knows?
He needs to against
Marshall. But that's the problem. Well, Marshall in round one absolutely
pantsed him.
Took him to the dry cleaners.
Yep.
Got him on. Had he put him on sort of some sort of rinse cycle, and then someone came and picked him up in one of those sort of plastic dry cleaner bags with a tag on it that said Reece Stanley 3860, and it was tax deductible. So can he recover from that? You're not sure. Well,
that is 23 weeks ago.
Well, not just that, but can he reproduce it? Can he go better? Because the thing is that I've said this before, Kingy. We repeat a lot of stuff on this, but we're basing him off a very low benchmark. So he takes a mark and we think, yeah, great's that. That's his job. That's what he should be doing.
He just needs to compete.
He does, but he's just got to compete. But he's got to do a little bit more than just compete. You've got to be able to influence the game to a degree. When the game's there to be won, you've got to be the kick down the line, maybe grab a contested mark just to stop the momentum. You've got to be able to do those things as a key ruckman. And let's hope he takes another step forward. Did he start? No. I think some Geelong fans are getting a bit carried away with how he played, but he was certainly serviceable.
His last quarter was really
good.
Because he got his hands on the foot. He jumped Jackson late to actually get his hands on the footy, which got Geelong a couple of centre clearances.
And no, Darcy getting injured in the warm-up
didn't hurt.
Helped him, yeah.
But even then, though, he would have been out jumping Darcy by the end of the game.
Probably. Yeah. Now look, credit to him. He's come in and played okay. Let's see him go again against a really good ruckman, because Marshall's the sort of bloke who can take the game over on Saturday night. Mm. He's if you're sort of thinking of five players for St Kilda who you think can actually take the game away from the Cats, he's right up there.
There's statistic differential and then there's statistic differential. But if somebody had said the Dockers had...
What about statistic differential?
90 disposals more, would you have been going, what are the Cats losing by?
Possibly. Not in today's footy, I wouldn't
care. Although 90's a big gap.
Yeah, it is a big gap.
If you get 40 to 50, sometimes you go, well, that's just the style of game being played by...
I would love to know, Kingy. I would love to know. And you'll have some sort of Rain Man arrangements going on here.
Right.
What percentage of teams win a game with more disposals than the opposition? Oh. I reckon it would be lower than you think in today's footy.
It'd still be 65, 70%.
Yeah. I don't know. But, 90 disposals is a lot. I wouldn't automatically in today's footy say, if someone says the team's had 90 more, I wouldn't automatically go, they got pantsed. 20 years ago you would have.
But they've been beaten, though, with 90.
Well, sometimes the 90 can be... I mean, I remember some of those games when the West Coast Eagles were getting beaten by 100 points. I'm pretty sure in some of those games they were having more possessions than the opposition because they were so frightened to do anything that they'd kick it 8 metres 15 times and then turn it over and the team would have two possessions and kick a goal. So I don't... Yeah, modern footy is different. Possessions aren't the other thing, Kingy, is that Geelong... And we said this, Kingy, and I'm not being Nostradamus, but when Patrick Dangerfield plays well... Their midfield is a completely different midfield.
Yeah, he was outstanding.
In the last quarter, he was outstanding, absolutely. And he's another one, though. Would you rest him for the final game against West Coast?
Depends on what you've got to do in that last game. Because if you're playing for percentage, you might be playing for percentage, Benny. And you need your best 20. And especially because you got the week off afterwards.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just thinking 2 weeks off for him, injury free.
Has missed a lot of footy this year already.
Yeah, but he's played, what, 7 or 8 games in a row now?
Has strung together. So he's played 12 for the season and has played... Oh, gee, now I've got to go all the way down to 2024. Please hold caller. What's he played? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He's played 8.
8 in a row?
Yep.
That's plenty for him at his age. He's 34. I think he's best fresh. They might discuss it. I'd be looking for him to play a big one, hopefully Saturday night, and then giving him a rest and a 2 week break with no injury, being able to train, freshen the body up, get himself right to have an absolute crack in that first final.
Back in that the Cats
and get like a Jai Clark back into the midfield, get a younger player in.
Nevitt was huge in the VFL.
Yeah, I'd like to see Nevitt get a game. Do you think he gets in this week?
I think he'll take Bruin's spot.
Yeah, okay. Well, that'd be good.
Yep.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, De Koning had a minor procedure on his knee.
Yeah. How long's he won't play this week?
No, I wouldn't have.
He won't play against West Coast either. No. Yeah, it's not ideal.
They're not ruling out Hawkins playing against the Eagles, but I want to know why they would put out a 2 week time frame and not 1 to 2 weeks. And then have us go, well, you've put 2 weeks on it, that means he's not playing against the Eagles. I don't think he's playing against the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't know, King. I can't answer. You can't answer what AFL clubs do.
Whatever they're whatever they got planned.
There need to be Nostradamus.
There is a farewell.
Need to be Mr. Miyagi. Yeah.
Ralph Macchio.
Yeah.
Jack Buckley.
What? Jack plays for GWS.
No. Oh. The one that plays for Joey's.
Oh, right. Wears the headband. Yes. Ralph he Macchio. Yes, he does. He has a bit of that going on. Yes.
I would be surprised if Hawkins is playing against West Coast.
That'll be disappointing, King.
Yeah.
But they're having a big celebration.
They are.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's not an ideal way to win. But anyway, it's not a fait accompli yet. We'll see what happens. But be really interesting to see what they do with the mix of that team in that final round. Because you do have the spectre of the week off the following week.
Percentage.
Yeah, well, I mean, that'll all take care of itself. But I think you'd be, yeah, it is a difficult situation. But I reckon there'd be some players you'd be looking to rest. What did you think of, he played poorly. I don't even really need to ask you.
You talking about the 22?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had nine possessions for the game.
It's catching up with him, isn't it?
Do you reckon he goes out?
That's a massive call. It's a massive, massive call. If he goes out, he's not playing next year.
No, I agree. They'd have to be talking about it. You just couldn't ignore it.
Can you carry Tui and Duncan?
No, I don't think you can. No. And
Tui's performance was actually better.
He was non-existent as well. But if you're going purely on possessions, but he kicks a couple out from full back. How many of those from full back?
But he's still, I still think he had more of an influence on the game.
Duncan had no influence, and Tui had a marginal influence. But yeah, I'd be going Nevitt over either of, well, I think that Duncan, I've said this before, I think Duncan has the ability to influence the game more than Tui. Yeah. So I'd be leaving Duncan in if you're not going to play both of them. He didn't play well, but he's the sort of player that if he gets it right, he offers you more than Zach Tui does.
Yep.
Now, can he get it right is the question, but you're saying exactly the same thing with Zach Tui. So Duncan can be that conduit between halfback or the midfield. He could go into the midfield a little bit. If he gets the ball forward to centre, you're happy with that because he's a lovely kick. So I just think on credits in the bank, on the ability to impact the game, versatility, and probably skill level, creativity, all those things, I think you'd run with Duncan.
Yeah. Tui can kick goals, can go forward.
Yeah, he can kick the odd goal. Yeah, he can kick the odd goal. Man, how many has he kicked this year? Five? Five or six?
Not many.
It's not like he's a regular goal kicker. He snaffles the odd one, but he's not in the team for his goal kicking, let's put it that way. So you've got to look at, if you're looking at players, you've got to say, what are the three things they could offer us? And neither are Duncan or Tua, you're in for goal kicking. If they happen to snaffle one, who's kicked more goals this year, Duncan or Tui?
No, it'd be Tui. Duncan's barely kicked a goal.
Yeah, true. He probably played more a little bit half back, but anyway, they're good discussions to have. It's you know, they're both fit. You know, we've got Stanley in the ruck. We've got the Dangerfield situation. Do you rest him? You've got a few blokes in the twos playing well. It's not a bad position to be in. They're good discussions to have rather than sort of scratching your head and thinking, well, geez, who's going to play here and who's going to play there? And do you think Tanner Bruin just misses the one then comes back?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yep.
He'd need to play. You'd really like to see him play well against West Coast going into a final. Otherwise, if he does play poorly, he's had the most disjointed run into finals of all time.
Yeah. Broken wrist into
a concussion, into six quarters of hardly touching the ball, into a half of being okay, into in and out of the team. It's just been a... And he's still only young as well. Let's not forget that.
Would you like some questions, Benny?
Oh, Kingy, I absolutely love questions.
Son of God, 29, outstanding win in the West, sets up a tilt at another flag. What a crazy 2024 the season has been. Danger strapped on his Superman cape three-quarter time Saturday. That quarter felt like something Joel would have provided in the past.
Sorry, Kingy, I had to read something for work.
All right. That quarter felt like something Joel would have provided in the past.
Dangerfield, yeah. Did he? He stood up, didn't he? Was that a point? Do you reckon he kicked?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched it on the replay. Yeah, I don't know. Did it swing back after it went over the post?
I think it was inside already.
Well, we looked there. I wonder whether it swung after it went over. Right. So it went over the post or just outside the post and then swung. And then, yeah, anyway, look, he played.
So it was a bit Terry Alderman, a bit of late swing into the Fremantle Doctor.
Absolutely. It was just, do you ever get any late swing, Kingy?
No, not these days. Not these days.
You're not turning it as much as you used to. What?
No, shout out to the Lesser Lights as well, though. Stanley, Kolodziejczyk and Bowes were really good. Really was manna from heaven, and Neil showed we must persist with him as a permanent marking forward.
I don't disagree with any of that. Did Bowes play well?
Solid citizen.
He was okay.
Solid citizen.
I don't know. I'm just not sure about him. I
only had the 12 disposals. Yeah, later, 8 tackles. He had 5 clearances.
Yeah. He wasn't horrible. He wasn't great.
In a game where the team only had 307 disposals.
Yeah, they made the most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't. We just lack that sort of midfielder that can get it a lot, don't we? That's what we don't have. But yeah.
But when the Cats were going 7 and zip to start the year, they didn't have a
midfield. No, they were having a good spread. Yeah. But it'd be nice to get, you know, it'd be nice to be able to have that midfielder like a, you know, like a Merritt or a, you know, Tom Green or a, who else is there?
I'd say Jack McRae.
Jordan Dawson, you know, Patrick Cripps.
Yep.
Those players, or Bonampally, that player that you know you're going to get, on a great night, you're going to get 35. On a pretty average night, you're going to get 25.
Yep.
It'd be nice to have that play. Geelong don't have that at the moment, unfortunately, but that's just the way, you know, the list is set up. They've been so good, it's hard to get that talent in at times, and they're making do with what they've got really well.
Son of God 29 also says, on the downside, the cliff really is coming fast for Duncan and Benny's mate, Tui. And with Tanner out with concussion, will this be the week Chris Scott actually rewards Mitch Hardy, or will the changes just revolve around Rowan and De Koning? Well, there will be no De Koning. I would think Rowan for Ollie Henry. If
Ollie Henry's not right.
And I suspect that Nevitt gets the nod out of the VFL after a very big performance against Carlton.
I don't think they're bringing in Hardy. Not now. If they were going to bring in Hardy, and he would have come in 8 weeks ago.
Yep.
He's not coming in on the eve of finals. They'll bring, you would have thought, Nevitt in, because Nevitt could play you a role in the finals.
Yep.
193, much bigger than Hardy. Yep. So he has a little, he has a few runs on the board, not many. Got a couple of singles down a fine leg, but he could give you something in a final. So I would have thought that he'd be getting the nod to come up and play seniors to get another run under his belt.
Howler 41, great win versus the Dockers. The performance I didn't think we had in us. Have happily bagged Stanley over the years, but gee, if you could give us that every week, we'd be a much better side.
Yep.
Our pressure was like when I last put on my suit, real bursting point sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Just harassed and tackled really well for most parts. Credit to most of the back six. Hate to pick on the guy, but Tui didn't lay a tackle and had the least pressure acts with 3.
Yep.
Neil had 17, which is an indictment on Reg. Roll Holmes back to his spot and put the inform Nevitt, 31 disposals, 2 goals, 8 marks in the VFL onto the wing. Finally doubling down on my collar idea last week. I'm not giving him up for nothing. I only suggest if a club offered him well above market value, which gave us a first round compo pick, we'd have to look at it. 30 next season, being a great player, won a flag, and we couldn't denigrate him if he chose to get some extra cash towards the end of his career. Also, why drop Buse only to bring Mullen in?
That's fair. Kolodziejczyk would be an unrestricted free agent though, wouldn't he?
He is.
So the Cats would get bugger all, wouldn't they?
You get compo depending on.
Yeah, I mean, when it's put like that, I don't think that's the silliest suggestion of all time. We have this sort of thing in footy that you love to see your players remain one club players, and that's going to become less and less over time. But yeah, I mean, when it's put like that, and if they could get something in, and I'd be disappointed to see him go. But if that was the case, you're probably right. If he can go and get a really good deal elsewhere, and maybe get an extra year, and the money's a lot better, and he's served Geelong really well, then fair enough. But I don't think he'd be as easy to replace as some of the naysayers who don't like Jake Kolodziejczyk would think.
Yep.
You'd miss him when he's gone. That's all I'd say on that.
Buse going out, Mullen coming in, we spoke about in the call. I couldn't wrap my head around that.
Yeah, that was a bit strange. I mean, I would have thought Buse played two solid games. He didn't start, but he was solid.
Rochelle got hold of him down
there. Yeah, Mullen, well, we didn't really get hold of him. Rochelle's that sort of bloke flags out the back, and he gets a few. I mean, Geelong's midfield got pants in that game at times. The ball was going down there a million miles an hour in that game at times. So I don't know if Rochelle got on the end of a couple, but yeah, look, it was a little bit weird. Mullen is very much a developing player, and it was strange. Just going back to that point too about the Tui and the pressure, that's probably one of the concerns of having both Duncan and Tui in the team. Neither are great pressure players at all. And in watching that last quarter last week, again, Geelong's pressure was first rate, the old frontal pressure. Mm. You know when you get frontal pressure?
Mm-hmm.
And then you just sort of keeps on coming, and yeah. then suddenly when the ball's going the other way, or when you everything's relieved, Kingy, right. and the pressure's off.
Yep.
Yeah, well, that was happening a lot for the Cats. It was extraordinary. They were very, very good at coming up to the Dockers, who were trying to handball forward
yep.
and pressing them back. They were really well set up too, which helps. It was a really comprehensive. Comprehensive performance with a lot at stake.
I think it was a good coaching display.
Yeah, yeah, well, no doubt. I mean, I've never seen Chris Scott as just a bad coach.
Mm.
I don't know, yeah, and his relationships and all that, I don't know how all that's going, but I don't think I think he's a very good coach.
Yeah.
But, it was just a really comprehensive. And the thing that I like is that some of these clubs are faltering when the pressure goes on.
Yep.
I mean, you look at the Bulldogs in red-hot form, they go over there against Adelaide and get absolutely trounced.
Yep.
Brisbane, 5 goals up on GWS, lose by 3.
Mm.
That's a big effort from GWS. They're the team that's probably in form. Carlton have fallen off the face of the earth. Essendon falling off the face of the earth.
Collingwood.
Well, Collingwood have got that many injuries. I'm not
but
surprised.
But so Carlton.
I'm not surprised. Carlton have now.
They still had a few before that.
They did, but not a breaking point. Collingwood was probably a breaking point. When Geelong played them, they had me and you up forward. But so Geelong were able to show some mental resilience when... I wouldn't say the season was on the line, but the stakes were enormous in that game. To get over the line there over Freo in Perth, and then knowing full well what position it put them in, because you saw Patrick Dangerfield after the game, he was absolutely cooked when he was talking to Kath.
Well, that's my worry, though, that hopefully that performance has... They've freshened up this week.
He was breathing like a six-year-old gelding that had just come back into work. And he yeah, but... It was great. It was a really good effort. So let's hope they just don't have some sort of...
letdown.
Yeah.
Cats. Bump on this. Was looking forward to a comment on Spinksy all week. This is about Brett Spinks kicking 17 goals in his first four games of the 1998 season. I have very little memory of the 98 season. Benny, do you have much more?
I've told this story before, Kingy.
Right, go on.
I had the Spinkter. The Schfinkter.
Yeah.
I had him going in a multi.
Right.
I took him as the last leg.
Did they have multis back in 1998?
Yeah, of course they did, All ups, they were called.
All ups, that's right, yep.
I took the Schfinkter to kick 6 or more goals, and it was the final game of the year they were playing Hawthorn, I'm pretty sure, down here.
Right.
And I had it going for enough to clear the GDP of a small nation, maybe Bolivia.
Right.
And he'd kick 5 because Hawthorn were decimated. They'd know. And the Schfinkter was, they'd fitted him with that reversing beep of the Cat so that he knew when he was coming back, everyone knew what he was doing.
Right.
Because he was that big. So he's kicked 5 and there's about 4 or 5 minutes to go in the game. And is there a game? I'm sure it was Hawthorn.
So would you say last round of the year?
I don't know if it was the last round of the year, but it was, no, I don't think it was the last round of the year. They played Hawthorn. I'm sure it was Hawthorn.
They played Hawthorn in round...
Did he kick 5?
In round 6, and he kicked 6.
That's it?
Kicked 6 goals, 2.
6, well, I must have had 7. Whatever it was, I needed him to kick one more goal.
It was down here?
Yeah, it was down here. I was there. Yep. I was in the out. I was refreshing 13, wildly.
13, 12, 90 to 10, 13, 73.
Against?
Against the Hawks.
Yeah, that was it. That was the game. So I must have had 7, not 6. So I needed him to kick 7 and be the leading goal kicker for the round.
Yep.
And 3 minutes to go... The Cats get a clearance, the clearest clearance you've ever seen all day.
He drops
the sitter. You know who's on the burst, the Schfinkter. He's 9 metres in front of his opponent.
Yeah.
And do you know who was kicking it to him? All he had to do was put it in the general postcode of the Schfinkter and he would have marked it and had a shot to kick 7.
It wasn't Pete Riccardi,
no.
Was it?
Well, Pete Riccardi would hit him lace out. Guess who it was? Guess
Brad Scholl.
No, Brad Scholl would hit him lace out.
Pickers.
No, Pickers would hit him lace out.
Bluey.
No, it wasn't Bluey.
Tim Finicario.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't the hairy back sort of wombat that we got from the Cannons.
Paul Corrigan?
No.
I've just
a shocking, one not a great kick. His sons played for the Cats.
Not a great kick. Sean Simpson.
Yes. And do you know, I've never lost my shit at the footy as much as I did with like 14 pots under my belt and about to clear the biggest dead of all time. And he missed him by about 17 metres. It went out of bounds. It was like, oh, my God.
Porter didn't play that day.
No. Anyway, that was my Brett Spink story. But how many games did he play for the Cats? 17?
19. 35 goals and was gone.
He kicked some goals for West Coast.
Not a huge amount.
How many games did he play all up?
No. He played 15 games in 94 and kicked 10 goals. One game, one goal, 95.
Why did we get him there?
Three games, three goals, 96. Two games, no goals, 97. And then 19 games.
He was enormous.
He was 194 centimetres and 110 kilos.
Yeah, he was a big unit. What number did he wear for the Cats?
He wore number 19, 14.
14, yeah.
He's not on the locker with the skipper.
No, thank God.
Or Cam
Fairley. They would have scratched him off with like a card or something if he was on there.
He wore two numbers at the Eagles in 4 years, 29 and 25. It's interesting that a bloke that kicked 35 goals would be gone at the end of the year.
Was there a coaching change?
No. No, it was Ayres.
Ayres, you didn't like him, obviously.
Obviously not.
Obviously something. There was a little dispute there. He might have been, was he good on the dance floor?
I have no idea. So he was Geelong's equal leading goal kicker that year with Ronnie Burns.
Rotten Ron.
Yeah.
Long Ron.
And Ronnie kicked 35-30. Rico was the next leading goal kicker after those two.
He was a gun, Rico.
20 goals, 16.
He was just a gun.
Yeah.
When he had the ball in his hands, you just used to get a talk about a twinge.
Jason Snell was the next leading
goal. He was a good player, yeah. Jason Snell.
15 goals. And then Derek Hall and Barry Stoneham kicked 13. Paul Lynch kicked 13 from 8 games.
He was a gun, Paul Lynch, but his hamstring used to go getting out of bed.
His most games in a year was 14.
Oh, he had some absolute talent.
Yeah.
And a couple of those players, who was a couple of players you mentioned there before?
That played that day? Or
yeah. Jason Snell was a very good player.
Until he broke his ankle. That
finished his career. But he was a really lively sort of player.
He was
player,
done at 23, Jason
yeah, he was,
Snell.
Yeah, he had a horrendous, it was a career-ending injury. But he had some talent. Some good players there, Kingy.
Yeah, against Melbourne at the MCG, he did that injury.
I reckon I was there.
Yeah, round three of 2001.
He was destined to be a very, very, I don't know about a superstar or anything, but he was going to be a very solid player the way his career was tracking, Jason Snell. Or four, I reckon.
Yeah. Started in the 25.
That's right.
And then moved to the four.
Aaron Lord wore four too, didn't he?
Did.
Got a story about Aaron Lord too.
Yeah, don't tell it here.
Lavinia broke up with him.
Daz Broncos, great WA.
You heard about that one?
Benny.
No, it's true, Kingy.
It's not being told.
No,
yet.
We had to. No. All I'm saying is that he was a little bit distraught about Lavinia giving him the chop, and he had to go away for a sabbatical.
Yeah, let's just leave it at that. Yes. All
right, they sent him away,
hey,
Kingy. No,
Ben,
listen,
Ben, I'm turning you off. I've turned you off. If you don't move on, I'm not turning you back on.
All I'll say is he came back refreshed.
Right. Des Broncos, great WA experience in calling the weekend. Hope the flight back from WA treated you well. King in 1A, it was nice up there as a captain of the commentary team. It's an old reference, thanks Billy Birmingham, but a good one. Sean Manor, whatever held him out of the team for 12 weeks or so was clearly worth the wait. How good has this bloke been in the last few games?
Well, we've mentioned it a few times, King. He just provides something slightly different to a Myers and a Close, who are more outside players, which is fine. Close is quite a good pressure player, good in tight, it's got good wheels. Myers is more of a link player. He's got a huge tank, can be up the ground and can link the defence to the forwards and help out sort of through the midfield as well. And then Manor is more of a grunt sort of player. He'll give you he's just sort of, I don't know, it's hard to describe how he plays, but he's sort of aggressive, holds his own in the contest. He gets a lot of dirty possessions.
Yep.
He just keeps the ball hunting forward, which is, always good. And as I said, he can hold himself up in the contest. So, yeah, alongside Stengel, who's sort of can do anything, really. Stengel, good mark, great finisher, good on the ground. It's a nice little mix. And I just wonder whether I've mentioned a few times that we've got too many half forwards. You've got Ollie Henry in there as well. But at some point, they'll work all that out. But it worked for them on the weekend.
Also from Daz Broncos, Before everybody goes troppo about men are being called a kid, there is a marked difference between AFL and VFL level, and even mature bodies need time to learn and develop to cope with them, and this includes tactics and role-playing. He just said before that, let the bloody kids develop. Reckon Benny's got at least 14 good role-playing stories as Kingy marks time code for another edit. Yeah, we're moving on. Given we've been talking about development and time, can we sneak Closey and O'Sullivan in again this season, or is time running out? No, won't be playing either of those two unless there's a rush of injuries. Those two won't be playing again.
No.
P.S. Will Darren Minchington kick three this week like he usually did every time he played us?
Well, this is the biggest concern for Cat fans. They'll have some tight sphincters on their plastic on Saturday night. Is that just those no? You're bound to get a no-name bob up and. Yep. Do something extraordinary, and that's been a theme sometimes against the teams like St Kilda who have troubled Geelong. So, geez, the start's all important. Let's hope they can bring that same energy that they had pretty much. I know it all came to fruition in the last quarter, but the energy they played with across the four quarters against Freo was good.
Foxdog 50. James, how much better does Henry and Colajasny play when they're helped in defence? When due to unfortunately SDK not able to play, there is another big man in Blitz there helping out. Goes to show, I think Blitz's best position now in the time of his career is in defence.
Yeah, well, I've always maintained that his best place is defence, and then ruck from there, and then midfield third. I've always thought that is his spot. He's got the range to move in defence. He has somebody else read the play for him. In the ruck, he knows his role. He the ruck, it's pretty simple. You contest the ruck. You look to get round the ground. Midfield has got to be a bit of nuance about how you play, and then how you play alongside other players, your role within that. You really need to have a really good understanding of the game. And because he's a late starter, I don't know that he has that. That's why I think he struggles when he's asked to play as a pure midfielder.
Do you think I think you are correct, his right foot must be injured. You really don't see him kick on his right foot.
Yeah, well, we need to ask that because it's. I reckon he cannot possibly tell me that he can run and mark and jump, he can't kick.
Get him on after the game on Saturday night.
We'll just ask him because he just seems. I think he's just getting ahead of himself. He thinks he's Gary Hocking, and he's not.
In playing finals, if this year is the
he's
year
more
any team,
Eddie Hocking.
This year is the year any team in the eight can win it, and I'm including a team outside the top four, then this year is the year, as there isn't a team like us in the year 2022, which we were by far the best. Any team on their day can be vulnerable. I've never seen more upsets than this year. It's all going to be mental in who can win each final this year.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's there to be won. I'll still maintain that I'm not being negative. I just think, don't know if Geelong have the midfield this year to win it. I've sort of maintained that all along, and I'm not going away from that just yet. But as I said, they've been unbelievable to put themselves in this position. But I just don't know when the whips crack whether they've got quite enough juice in the middle of the ground. Unless, as you said, like does Dangerfield put on a blinding final series? Does Tanner Bruin come in and just hit top form? Does, Atkins, does all the stars align? And then, okay, you probably say it's not impossible, but it's exciting the fact we're two games out from the finals and the Cats are pressing for top two. You could have shot me off a seat, Kingy, to suggest that at the start of the season.
And then when they drop 5 of 6, even more so.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. But this is, it's credit to them. They've done well.
Hoops crew off the KFC. X Reece Stanley may become a two-time premiership ruck in 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but that'd be extraordinary if that happened.
Arne Gold loving the kid's growth at the moment. Is there something wrong with Blitz right foot? His kicking seems off his usual standard. Mm-hmm. And then Trent Woodall follows up. Exciting news, there will be a sequel to the award-winning movie My Left Foot, but this time starring Blitz Arves. Why, oh, why does he think it's a weapon? It's not. Constantly turns the ball over with it. Cats losing to Saints would be very much Geelong after such a great win.
Yeah, well, we might be able to, rather than ask Mark Blitz Arves, we might be able to ask an assistant coach who get on pre-game.
I think Stephen King's jumping on with us.
Okay, well, he'll just absolutely flat bat us, but might be worth asking because he isn't a great kick on his left. He's not a great kick on his right, let alone his left. So I don't know why you'd be doing that. I mean, that game against Adelaide when he marked that ball 670 from out, 70 from goal, with the game on the line and wheeled onto his left and kick an absolute mung. That was just bizarre.
Trevor Young, time to put the pedal to the metal for the last two games. What does the best 22 look like currently, ins and outs? Well, you have to to leave De Koning out for the moment. You have to take Bruin out, and I think Ollie Henry's not 100%.
Well, their injury, you're not talking about out altogether.
No.
No, they're in the team,
yep.
I would have thought.
Rowan comes back in for... Is he in the best 20? Is he your ideal sub?
Yeah, I would have thought.
Come finals time?
Absolutely. Yep, he's a difference maker. He's a burst player.
Fresh in the last quarter of the game.
You give him a quarter and a half even, or a quarter. If you're in the game till three-quarter time, he's the sort of bloke that run down, tackle, kick your goal.
Take a mark.
Set something up through the middle maybe for somebody else. Yeah, I think he's an ideal sub. You just hope that you don't lose a defender, I suppose. But, I would have thought that Gary Rowan, where he is in his career and his ability to play in a burst sort of role, is perfect.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Great win by the boys to do it for Jez. Thought the skipper played a captain's game, especially in the last quarter. Benny, you're spot on. Think the forward line plays better without Rowan, though Myers played a great game with his pressure. Go Cats.
I don't know that they play better. I think, that's probably a byproduct. I think there's more room to move. I think you've got too many players playing a similar type role. Henry, Rowan, Stengel. And Jeremy Cameron. Jeremy Cameron ain't a tall forward. He's tall, but he's not a tall forward. They're not mutually exclusive. I think he's a key half forward, like a big half forward who's extraordinary. But so you got four half forwards. So I just think that there's too many. So that's why I think that it functions better when you have one of those taken out, and maybe Rowan the sub is the option. Then you've got the option then, Kingy, is if one of those forwards is struggling, you can take them off. Or you could fashion something in defence in terms of maybe pushing someone back to get Rowan on. But I do think there's something into that, that there's too many players playing exactly the same role up forward for the Cats.
Marshall, really concerned we're going to get caught napping this week. Break down how this week goes, please.
Well, ideally, Geelong start well, bring the pressure that we've seen last week. Even last quarter against Adelaide when the game was on the line, they dominated the last quarter. Didn't particularly score much, but they dominated the last quarter. Mm-hmm. Bring that pressure for four quarters and you win. If you don't and you allow St Kilda to get their tails up, you're not switched on and you there's too many breakdowns, then it'll be an absolute struggle. And the longer it struggles, the more belief you get St Kilda. And I know St Kilda aren't playing for anything, that they'll be really keen to ruin somebody's season, and they'll be staring at the Cats this week hoping it's them.
Chris Quinet, sad to hear Hawk won't make a pre-finals return. If his form wasn't so bad pre-injury, he'd be a lock. If you were Chris Scott, would you play in week one of the finals? Personally, I would, but they can't play him and Neil, though. Hate to pick on anyone, but Mullen looks so lost.
Yeah, I think, we spoke about that. I think they pulled the wrong rein there. I mean, they got away with it because they won, but it was very odd to make an inexperienced player who's pigeonholed into very few roles your sub. I mean, he's got leg speed. That's about it. He was involved in that goal that Shannon Neal kicked from a metre out. Mullen got the ball on the wing and was able to kick it forward. Does he go out this week, Kingy?
Mullen?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he does too. I think he's... How many games would he have played this year? Seven? Six or seven? It's been a developing year for him. He's got some time at senior level, which is always good. I don't know if he's particularly started at the VFL level, has he?
No, he hasn't.
No. It's an interesting one to where he's at in terms of where his footy. Because I think just watching him, I think if he's going to be any good at anywhere, it's going to be half back, isn't it?
Yeah.
Quick, playmaking type. I think that's ball coming to him. Somebody else reads the game for him, takes him to the ball. I reckon that'd be a really good starting point to leave him there for a few years and just let him flourish in that role. We've seen a number of the Irish do that. Ty Connelly and Tui as well. Really flourishing as that rebounding type defender.
Just on Mullen, he has played 9 games this year.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good
base.
Yep, that's a good year to get that 9 games of senior experience. A really good year
after half a dozen last year.
Yeah, so he's up to 15 games. Yeah, that he's trending in the right direction. It's slow. The steps are slow, and they'll be frustrating for fans. But they're at least he's taking steps forward.
Premiers, danger huge. Stanley played well. Does Mullen know what sport he's playing? Doesn't belong anywhere near an AFL field at the elite level. And before I hear anything about the future of the club, he'll be 25 before round one next year. What has Busey got to do?
Yeah, well, we just spoke about that. Yep. You'd think that Busey come back in?
Oh, I'd hope so.
So we're looking at St Kilda, the makeup of their forward line.
Go to a
Higgins.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an option. Yeah.
Mitch Hawley, has Reece Stanley left his run too late for All Australian? In all seriousness, the big number one was great.
Yep.
In the last quarter.
Credit to him.
Yep.
Yep, he played well. I just want to see it again this week. I want to see him build, play well, compete. Week in, week out. But you don't have such an enormous gap between your best and your worst. And if he can do that, he'll hold his spot. But it's a big, this is a really big game against this week against Marshall.
Sad news. I reckon the Cats will wear black armbands. The name might not mean too much to many people, but Sir Donald Triscothic passed away last week. He's probably biggest involvement with the world of business was Harris Scarfe.
Oh, yeah.
Was involved with that. Had some other businesses as well going back, just coming off the top of my head. But he was a life member of the Cats, and I think you might find that when the Cats were struggling financially,
did he produce some Bugs Bunny, with
the likes of Frank Costa, Alex Popescu, I think the Triscothics might have been keeping things afloat at the Cats in the late 90s when things were struggling a little bit.
Right.
So he just passed
put
away.
The hand in the old skyrocket.
Yeah. Yeah. Very,
well, good on him. Good on Donnie.
So, sympathy to the family, and I suspect the Cats in black armbands on Saturday night. CarrickFootball.live from 6 o'clock. We are trying very hard to get Andrew Dillon, AFL CEO, on in the pregame. Haven't spoken to an AFL member of executive this year, even though as part of being an AFL rights holder, we are expecting to see some talent. But I think we saw Gil McLaughlin twice in his tenure as CEO, so I'm putting the pressure on AFL House. Say, hey, come on, guys. Because the question's got to be asked about finals for Geelong. And about where it sits, what do the AFL got planned, how does it all fall, is there any way that we can see a final down here? It's part of me though, Benny, I'd be quite happy for Geelong to play their finals at the G.
Oh, I'd be love to play down here, King. It's their home ground.
They haven't played well there this year.
I'd still be thinking that they're a couple of goal better side down here than they are at the MCG.
I'd be happy to play at the G, depending on who you, doesn't matter who you play, depends on who you play. If it was an MCG tenant down here, but if you're playing at Brisbane or similar at the G, I'd be comfortable with that.
No, well, wherever they play, they've got to play, but it'd be nice to have some sort of... I mean, isn't the contract in terms of the MCG and finals there? If there's only, is it only one final, there has to be played the MCG in Victoria?
Yep.
So, and it's looking like that's sort of a possibility.
Yeah. We're out of here. 6 o'clock Saturday night, Benny.
Yeah, Kingy, I can't wait.
Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.